Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. How do you become a disciple, and how do you make disciples? That's what I've been trying to talk about the last few weeks. The first step is to simply come and see, or to invite other people to come and see, to see what Jesus is all about. It's not up to you to change anyone's mind, to create faith out of nothing. In Luther's Small Catechism, he writes that, I believe that by my own understanding or my own strength, that I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but that the Holy Spirit calls me through the gospel. We come and see, God changes hearts. That's simple. But after coming to see Jesus, he says, follow me. Follow me. This is a challenge. We are called to commit our lives to him. The first step is one of invitation, and the next step is of challenge. At church, there's a church I heard about in Arizona. I've talked about them a whole lot of times. They have this great mission statement, and it says, come as you are, but don't stay that way. The same idea. Invitation, come as you are, don't stay that way. That's a challenge, okay? That's the same idea as when Jesus says, come and see, and then follow me. Invitation, and then challenge. And we have the same mindset here at Emmanuel in our vision statement. It's come to faith, then honor God's word. Invitation, then challenge. Following Jesus, though, looks like lots of different things. That commitment, that responding to the challenge, it can look like baptism, confirmation, daily Bible reading, prayer, giving, serving. Jesus just starts to become a larger and larger part of your life. We grow in our faith. Our lives change. We become more like him, more Christ-like in our thoughts and our actions. However, if you're not careful, this is as far as you'll ever grow with a strong personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then after you become a disciple, you're never going to take the next step in actually making disciples. There's a famous quote by the artist Ann Geddes. She's the one that made all those little baby pictures, you know, and flowers and that kind of thing. She also apparently wrote this quote, or said this quote. Any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. Now, most people, if you asked them, could tell you who their father was. But, unfortunately, many of those fathers aren't very good dads. Because being a dad isn't really about genetics at all. It's about how you live your life. How you treat your children, how you're involved in your family, this type of thing. Similarly, most of you would be considered disciples. However, being a disciple is supposed to mean making more disciples. That's part of the definition. And a lot of us have just dropped the ball in that regard. We're deadbeat disciples, you could call us. Focused more on our own spiritual health, our own eternal destination, rather than expanding the kingdom of God through other people and helping to make sure they know where their eternal destination is going to be. And the thing is, this gets worse. Even when we are making disciples, because we're not living out what that means, we don't train others to be very good disciples at all. As I was growing up, my dad spent a ton of time with me. Hey, we didn't make a lot of money, but he was always, at all of my stuff, he would spend all of his time with me. It's probably the reason he didn't make much money. He would choose me over anything else. And he said part of the reason that he did this, that he lived this way, was because he grew up with the song, Cats in the Cradle. Some of you know this song. Let me sing some parts of it to you if you don't quite remember this song. My child just arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he said, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the song continues. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. He said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him. And then in the final verse, the message of the song comes through. I've long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. So we're raising other people in the faith to be just like us. We're not focused on making disciples, and those we're raising in the faith, they're not focused on making disciples either. They don't know how, because we don't know how. So it's time, I think, that this changes. Today, the focus is on the third step in making disciples. And the words we're going to use to remember this third step are follow and fish. Up at Hosanna Lutheran Church in Lakeville, Minnesota, they use the word invest. It's just a quick word to remind us what this step is all about. Following Jesus, you see, is about growing in your own personal relationship with God. But follow and fish means to invest in the lives of other people. A teacher named Dave Early says disciple makers derive greater joy from their disciples' progress than they do from their own. We need to invest in the lives of other people. This step is all about relationships with other people. In Philippians, Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Think about how Jesus made disciples. Did he preach to thousands of people? Sure, sometimes he did. There are many stories about people coming and hearing him talk. However, the vast number of stories we hear are about how he was hanging out with the 12, with his 12 disciples. And he spent his days and nights with these 12 men for like 3 years. His entire ministry was focused on them. And the thousands, the other people, they learned and they grew in their faith and they saw miracles and some were healed and they were fed. But the disciples had a special relationship with Jesus. In the same way, this follow and fish step is about finding a group of people who you can invest your time in and who will invest their time in you as well. But these small groups are where we're going to start to understand what it means to make disciples and grow the kingdom of God. Jesus called his disciples to fish for people. It wasn't enough that they knew him and that they had the hope of salvation. Jesus wanted them to share this good news with other people. And after Jesus was raised from the dead, he had this interesting conversation with St. Peter, who had very recently, if you recall, just denied that he even knew Jesus, denied his faith 3 times. They were eating fish. They had just had a miraculous catch of fish. And this is what happened. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? He's talking about the fish. Do you love me more than these fish? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Notice Jesus is doing two things here. First, he's forgiving Peter. He's reconciling Peter, who had just denied his Savior three times. And so to counteract this, what does Jesus do? Jesus calls Peter to confess his faith one, two, three times. Do you love me? He invites him. Do you love me? He invites him again. And every time then is the next step. Jesus wasn't satisfied that Peter was now in a right relationship with God again. The entire conversation was about how Peter was now called, challenged, to invest in the lives of other people. So Jesus says, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. It's not about these fish, Peter. It's not about you. It's not about growing in your relationship with me. It's about investing in the lives of other people from now on. This applies to you and me as well. Find a small group of people you're willing to invest your time with and see how you might grow together in that faith, in your faith in God, so that you can become disciples who make other disciples. Now, next week, we are going to learn about the final step of discipleship, multiplication. And then we will finally become the people that Jesus made us to be. And Jesus' church can begin to live out our purpose, the purpose for which we were called in the first place. Amen.